when I was in third grade at Our Lady of Grace Catholic School in Edina, Minnesota, I remember a specific time when I was introduced to the concept of doing hard things, of sacrificing myself for God, perhaps. We were lining up in the hallway to go to the gym, and I asked to get a drink of water from the nearby water fountain. My teacher, who was eager to keep us in line and not start a flood of "I'm thirsty too's" from the kids surrounding me, said, "No, give up your thirst for the holy souls in purgatory." It was, in all my Catholic years, just about the only time anyone ever suggested anything like this. And my third grade self was taken aback, a bit aback. In my mind, I can still hear my very faithful Catholic grandmothers chuckling at the idea that giving up a drink of water might allow someone who had died to get into heaven. But another part of my mind truly took a step back in that moment from my own desire for a drink of water and thought about the importance of setting aside my own needs and wants, at least for a moment, to consider something bigger than myself. It seems that my teacher's statement, in a way perhaps both a little silly and profound, aligns with what Jesus is telling his disciples today. Jesus' language is daunting and strong, but he, like my teacher, is trying to let us know that there are things much more important than our own desires and comfort, things worth actually sacrificing ourselves for. On this Sunday, the second Sunday in Lent, as we continue to explore our call to truth, I think this may be a truth our scriptures have for us in this season. We are followers of Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus lets us know in no uncertain terms that there is a cost to that. Like Miss Katie said, sometimes stepping out of the boxes that the world has for us can be really hard. As Lutheran theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, there is a cost to discipleship. Jesus' statement that following him means taking up the cross was no off-the-cuff remark. In that time and place, everyone listening would immediately have envisioned Calvary, where not just once on Good Friday, but many times, people who stood against empire and challenged the status quo stepped outside of those boxes, were brutally punished by the Roman Empire for not following in line. The cross was not a punishment for simple lawbreaking. It was not the fate of those who stole or attacked or even murdered a fellow citizen. Death on the cross was reserved for those who rioted or protested unfair Roman taxes, or in other ways challenged the authority of Roman rule. In other words, taking up the cross was the dramatic and brutal warning intentionally designed to silence those who had a courage to stand against the empire. Jesus knew that the empire would not take kindly to his radical proclamation of love, justice, and mercy. He knew that Pilate would be eager to quash beliefs that all people had value, and that those who were marginalized and cast out might actually be considered before those who held power. Jesus knew well how violent the response would be eventually, and he refused to back away from that. Jesus of Nazareth, rather than softening his message to avoid the cross, rather than trying to stay inside the boxes they wanted him in, began with his message to his disciples to embrace the cross and invite them to do the same. We can imagine how the disciples must have felt about this. They expected the Messiah to come with military power, prepared to overthrow Roman rule in the end. And then Jesus tells them that not only would he suffer and die, if they were to follow him, they must also be ready to accept the most painful and shameful death imaginable at that time. It must have been quite a shock to hear the one they expected to free Israel from occupation suggest that the way of liberation led not to glorious military victory, but shameful death. In fact, more than one of Jesus' disciples eventually were crucified as well. If we too are Jesus' disciples, we too are called to take up the cross as we follow him. We too are called to embrace the truth that there is a cost to discipleship of Jesus of Nazareth. So what does this mean for us today? Because although I got a glimpse of the call of our faith to sacrifice ourselves in that moment in the hallway, there is much more to understand than that. Denying ourselves a drink of water or finding other ways to fast can become a token action, something we can feel good about that doesn't go below the surface. It can become something that is so rigid and restrictive that the joy of the good news, the message of God's love and our identity as God's kids, is lost. Or, at its best, fasting in the spirit of the gospel can be a spiritual practice that leads us into deeper relationship with the God who formed us and prepares us to follow Christ all the way to the cross. Debbie Thomas, theologian and blogger, wrote this week, "To take up a cross as Jesus did is to stand in the center of the world's pain. Taking up the cross means recognizing Christ crucified in every suffering soul and body that surrounds us, and pouring our energies and our lives into alleviating that pain, no matter what it costs." You may remember from last week that Jesus began his ministry by leaving the desert and walking straight into the grief and horror of John the Baptist's death. And we hear today that Christ was willing to challenge the empire and face the cross to stay true to the gospel he was called to preach. The cross we are invited to take up as followers of Jesus is to stand with all who suffer, to step outside of our comfortable boxes and lean into the pain of the world with the promise of God's faithfulness, and to commit ourselves to challenging the systems that bring death, even if it means that we ourselves suffer. This is, I think, one of the hardest truths of the gospel. We, like the disciples, would much rather Jesus just move in and destroy in victorious battle all of the ills of this world, illness, violence, oppression, and death. The way of the cross, as Luther explains it, means that we do not avoid the suffering and pain of life, but call it what it is. We face head on the evils of this world and call it evil, and we proclaim the gospel no matter what the cost. Along with this hard truth today, we have the knowledge and promise of the covenant between God and Abraham and Sarah. The covenant they make today is profoundly important to us who follow Jesus of Nazareth on the way to the cross. The covenant is only one of many in just a few chapters of Genesis. God seemed to know that as Abraham and Sarah traveled along the road to the unknown, facing countless threats and challenges along the way, they would need to be reminded of God's faithfulness. And in the first of those covenants, as they began this long journey, God promised that God would bless them so that they would be a blessing. Because it was not all about them, after all, any more than it is all about us. That's the thing about the way of the cross. It draws us out of our selfishness and greed and into our true selves in profound relationship with God and all that God created, so that we can participate in the creation, recreation, healing, and redemption of the world around us. We too are blessed to be a blessing, and we too are named and claimed by the God who made us, as Abraham and Sarah received their new names in today's story. We continue our Lenten journey on the way of the cross, guided by the truth Jesus shares, that this road will not be easy. We follow Jesus of Nazareth, who calls us to take up our cross, to step out of our boxes, to walk into the world's pain, and stand against the empire, naming and challenging the evils of racism and all forms of oppression, and claiming the promise of the gospel. No matter the consequences, we know we are not alone, because Christ has gone before us. Thanks be to God.